Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Resorts and casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Accountability, to me, starts with the player himself. That first thing he does is holds himself accountable. That did I do enough to get this team to where it needed to go? Before you can be accountable or look for accountability from somebody else, you got to be accountable to yourself, whether it's your training in the summertime, whether it's your preparation for camp, whether we get to game one, are you ready to play? You hold yourself accountable. The next level of accountability when you become a good team is the players themselves will hold each other accountable. They will say that, you know, that play wasn't good enough. You need to be there. You need to be on the wall. You need to block that shot for me.
Marty's primetime exclusive coming up with Lindy Ruff later on Sabres Live. Welcome into the show today, and it is on the heels of another busy night for NHL playoffs, but also on the heels of Lindy's reintroductory press conference. Do you have a completely new line of questioning, Marty, for Lindy, which is quite a task after all these years?
I'm open, I do, and I will have some this or that as well towards the end, and let's try to have a little bit of fun, but we'll be serious first of all. But you talk about a primetime interview, one-on-one, me and Lindy Ruff. With the setup that we have, and Addy set us up great with lights here at the 200 level, and there is a light about 3 feet away from where Lindy is going to sit that is like interrogation lights, that it's going to be beaming him. We're going to be putting the lie detector test on him and all of it. Like, we're pulling out the big stumps here. So it's like a 60 minutes primetime interview.
Well, I would suggest that you turn that light off if you want to establish a good relationship with Lindy moving forward. Reestablish, of course, that is. But in all honesty, like, did you feel like there was a lot to chew on still and repurpose, so to speak? And, you know, as far as looking ahead to this, you know, this opportunity about 20 minutes from now, because yesterday's presser goes for about an hour. It's not just Lindy. It's, you know, obviously owner Terry Pegula started things off, and general manager Kevin Adams in there as well. But, like, do you feel like it just kind of opened the doors for you to think, oh, now I'm thinking about this, 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 and this?
There's a couple of things, right? And obviously, where we asked a couple of things on X today, kind of a fill-in-the-blank, like, fill-in-the-blank. Blank is going to benefit most from Lindy being the head coach. And I also said, hey, we're going to have Lindy on at 12:30. Why don't you send me some of your questions? So I've got a little bit of both. Some fans, you know, maybe they caught the press conference, maybe they didn't. Maybe they want to ask some questions. I think it's important to talk to the direction of where Lindy wants to take the team. But I want to also build on his experience in Dallas and in New Jersey and how the games change and what he saw from the Sabres when he played them the last 2 years. He was the head coach in the National Hockey League with the New Jersey Devils up until March 4th this past season. What did you see? What did you prep for? What was your scouting report? What was the video like when you played against the Sabres that you can use, you know, to build this team back to where you want it to be? So I think that's, these are all kind of maybe more detailed questions that you can, you know, it's hard to ask a question in a press conference settings and say specific. Okay, so what did you see out of the Sabres? And so one-on-one may be easier to do that, and I'm still getting some questions from our fans here on social media, so I'll kind of sift through them and see which ones are relevant and which ones I'm going to try not to ask because maybe they're not the right ones.
Well, you're probably still miffed that two longtime reporters got a mention from the coach and he didn't mention you in the presser, right?
That's yeah. And he mentioned Jason Pominville and Thomas Vanek and Ryan Miller. And I'm like, look, I didn't reach out to you, Lindy, because I knew I was going to see you, you know, on this day. So I'd rather do it in person. So how about that?
The goal is to get where the other teams are right now. That is the 16 teams that are in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's so hard not to be sarcastic at times like this, but the shot total is where we start. Vancouver and Nashville, a classic 2004 game, if there ever was one. Now, in all due respect to Vancouver, they were throwing just about everything that was on Kitsilano Beach towards UC Saros. It just never got there. And unfortunately for the Canucks, it seemed like it just caused more and more and more frustration as the game wore on. But this was the perfect bounce back for Nashville, and they did so at the expense of a non-Demko-led Canucks team. Casey DeSmith in for now. And what do you think of the victory for Nashville and the storyline that is maybe emerging in goal?
So you talk about early 2000 type of hockey. That's exactly what I was thinking about when at the end of the night, the shot total was 18-16 for the Vancouver Canucks. The shot attempts were more, 84-36. It still wasn't Carolina, New York Islanders from the day before where it was
84 is huge, though.
84 is big, but when you only have 18 shots on 84 attempts, as you pointed out, like, okay, you got to get the puck to the net. You got to get it on net. Missed shots and block shots from the Nashville Predators was a very, very typical, we're going to hunker down defensively type of game for the Nashville Predators. Look, the biggest thing for me, Thatcher Demko is a fantastic goaltender. And he is in the top three for me this season when you look at the performances that he's put up when healthy. He got hurt a little bit and then came back the last two games of the season and played really well in game one. Duffer, you're the first person that alerted me to say Demko didn't even want to celebrate with his teammates after game one. He looked like he was in a lot of pain. So what I ended up doing yesterday is looking back and saying, okay, when would Demko have gotten hurt? And throughout the whole game, he's jumping right back up. He makes a save. He jumps right back up. Dakota Joshua scores an empty net goal to make it 4-2. We're talking about game one here. And then with about 45 seconds left in the game, a nothing shot on a bad angle where Demko went into a reverse VH, and he awkwardly moved out of it, and then he stayed on his knees. Nobody talked about it. Why? Because the building was buzzing in Vancouver. Game one, they won the game. They were good. And Demko leaves the ice, doesn't celebrate. So because you alerted me to it, I started looking at it, and then I started digging into, okay, what's the difference between Demko and Casey DeSmith? We all know Demko is a really good goaltender. DeSmith is a capable backup. But it's not defensively that the Vancouver Canucks have struggled with DeSmith and that. It's offensively. They play different with Demko and with DeSmith. The difference is over a half a goal per game. They were at 337 goals per game with Demko in net, 277 with Casey DeSmith. It's more than a half a goal per game. That's a huge difference.
But it wasn't like they were hemmed in and not creating the chances. So this is just an unfortunate byproduct, as opposed to sometimes it appears obvious that a team is playing a different way in front of not their number one netminder. And the most glaring example was late in the first period when they had a wide open net on the power play And unfortunately for Elias Pettersson, it just hasn't been dropping. It's two games. Like, we get it. But that was a big
that
miss.
That was a bad miss. Then, that was a really bad miss.
Yeah. And Forsberg obviously dangled for, you know, what turns out to be the game winner. Oh. I was really intrigued by how Andrew Brunette utilized his lineup. If you go through the ice time, and it, like, it's a great illustration of the eye test, because if you're sitting there thinking, man, like, they just kept rolling everybody. And then you look at the game sheet after, like, even the three defensemen that were over 20 minutes, that, like, nobody's up at like 29. And then the forwards are all double digits. And but what was really interesting, and this is going to make it that much more interesting in games three and four, is how much more does he utilize Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist, right? Based on matchups and things like that. And it was almost like, go through the four lines. Every 25%, we're going to have a shift where we actually have the puck. And I thought that was pretty obvious, you know, like, as they, you know, it was like, oh, the O'Reilly line's coming. Okay, they get a reprieve. And they did. You know, it didn't necessarily, obviously didn't mean a lot of shots for Nashville the other way, but it did result in possession and at least more pressure the other way. But I'll say this, I had to go back and look and remind myself how long ago Michael McCarron was the first round pick of the Montreal Canadiens. And I love seeing guys stay with it and stay with it and stay with it. And man, he is a player that looks like he absolutely belongs in the NHL, and it's been his best year at a dozen goals. You know, they were able to move off of certain guys at the deadline, i.e. Yakov Trenin, who had a nice impact on the Colorado win last night. But it's because of guys like Sissons and McCarron and the like that allow Nashville to round it out the way they do.
And you talk about Michael McCarron. I remember when Montreal drafted him, the first thing you see when you see Michael McCarron is size, right? You're like, man, this is a big guy. He can play a big game. I had a conversation with another coach in the National Hockey League yesterday about size, because he had made a comment to me a few months ago saying the Sabres have size, right? So, so I wanted to talk to him about it, but then somehow we got to talk about Nashville, about how certain players play to their size and some certain players play bigger. Like Gus Nyquist plays a lot bigger. Like, he's on pucks and he's hard to get he's hard to get off the puck. And there's a difference between getting the puck back and not giving it away. Like Ryan O'Reilly, we all know he plays a lot bigger. He's heavy on his stick and he's hard to get the puck back. But Michael McCarron has figured it out a little bit now. And look, everybody would want that size. If you have the skill, the skating, you play tough, you have a role. It's not everybody that big that figures it out, and sometimes it takes time. And Michael McCarron has figured it out this year for the benefit of the Nashville Predators.
And he's part of the group that Brunette's referring to when he says, we committed to the pain. Over 30 blocked shots last night, Nashville was fearless, and they obviously took advantage of no Demko. Tyler Myers was out due to the flu. Jolson came in on the blue line, and Vancouver's power play is 0-for-6 in the series. Be fascinating to see what unfolds here moving forward. I have a feeling there's going to be a game like the Winnipeg-Colorado game series opener. I feel like there's going to be one of those games still in this Nashville series here coming up, and it very well will be in game three or four in Nashville. Now, the bounce back from Georgiev, is that maybe one of the great talking points of last night in the Stanley Cup playoffs, as they defeat the Jets 5-2? They get a game winner from Parise. They get a insurance goal very, very, very late in the second from Manson, who came out of the box. But none of this happens if they don't have a greater game from Georgiev, who now has slightly better numbers than Connor Hellebuyck after two games. Like, it's wild, isn't it?
It's the troubling part is what you just said, is the fact that Connor Hellebuyck has not played well at all in two games. He actually made a very, very bad mistake with the puck, playing the puck, that allowed Colorado to take the lead, and the goal, like, you got to make that breakaway save. I understand it's a breakaway, but it's late in the second period. It's Manson coming out of the box. You got to make that save. And it was a straight-on shot. It wasn't like this, you know, Austin Matthews breakaway against Linus Solmark, where it's a nice back-and-forehand move upstairs. No, it's Manson coming in straight-on, taking a shot. You got to give your team that chance, because even though Alexander Georgiev had a better game, there were still moments in that game where he was not sure of himself. There was a shot in the second period that hit him in the chest and leaked over to his right side and off the side of the net, and he still thinks he has it. He's holding his chest. He's holding his arms in front of him like, I've got the puck. I've got the puck. No, the puck is already around the net and up to the wing. I'm thinking it was AJ Milesko that was on the call. And she's like, yeah. Well, this did not look very confident out of Georgiev on this one. And I'm like, absolutely. And the 4-2 goal crushed the Winnipeg Jets, because I felt like they were still in the game because Georgiev did not look confident. The third period worked out better for him.
And it was all Jets when it was 2-1. But it was like the perfect microcosm of Stanley Cup playoff action. Like, it's mayhem. There's bodies getting blasted all around the ice. The whiteout is in full effect, or whatever that's worth. But in a world where it's dark at home, you know, I still struggle with that. But anyway, yeah,
it doesn't make sense. Make sense at all.
I mean, they're loud and they're passionate. I'll give them that. But the white is the wrong look. But the Avs are deep, right? They have 11 goals in two games.
Yeah.
And very quietly, another couple of, I shouldn't say quietly, he's anything but quiet, but effectively, I should say, another 2 points for Cale Makar. Like, it's just, it's incredible. But I'll say this, I thought Devon Taves was really, really good for Colorado last night.
Devon Taves was really good. Makar was flying all over the ice. But this is a series, to me, where we think of high offense. First game was 7-6. This one is 5-2. Colorado can score. Winnipeg has goal scorers. But it's the depth and the speed of the depth. Like, the guys that are helping Colorado, right? Miles Wood. Like, we've loved Miles Wood, you know, for a long time. I've loved him since he was in New Jersey and now in Colorado, because he skates, straight line, gets his second goal in two games. Arturi Lehkonen, I remember him with the Montreal Canadiens. He actually sent the Vegas Golden Knights packing in the semifinal when they did the, you know, the COVID season, and there was the North Division and whatnot, because he plays a straight, simple game. And that is how Colorado has been able to get some success, a straight, simple game. Lehkonen, the second goal. Miles Wood, his second goal. You talk about Manson, Nichushkin, empty netter. But Nichushkin was very noticeable in this game as well.
Yeah, and Casey's been on the board too. So, I mean, the depth is really, really clear here. And it's, you know, it's impressive to say the least. The bounce back after such a wild night. But it really comes down to Georgiev. And for that, you know, you just have to look forward to, you know, fans are, they're allowed to be fickle, right? But I think it's going to be quite a welcome onto the ice for Georgiev in front of the home fans in game three. And we wouldn't have said that 24 hours ago, right?
It's a much better feeling to go home 1-1 and knowing, well, Georgiev's going to start game three, as opposed to you're down 2-0. And is Anonin, Justus Anonin, the backup goaltender in Colorado, is he healthy? Is he over his sickness? Did he lose 10 pounds? Can he play 60 minutes? Can he play game three? Like, that would have been a disastrous time for Colorado to come back home.
Marty's one-on-one with Lindy Ruff is coming up, so stay with us here on Sabres Live. Of course, you mentioned injury. You mentioned who's going to be in the lineup. It's now impossible not to look at Florida-Tampa and wonder if the Lightning not only played a little better in Game 2, but can they somehow take advantage of the series going back home with Florida missing Sam Bennett now for a week. He left the game last night, got a friendly fire on a shot from Montour, and, you know, we know the impact that Bennett has. Now, I would say this, Florida is far more well-constructed now to withstand the loss of a Sam Bennett than they ever were before, simply because their experience in the last few years has them so ready. This, again, like we're seeing in the first couple of games of this series, why Florida got to the finish line last year, what kind of depth that they have, how they could, they're amazing. I think the only surprise was that they had to get to overtime last night based on how the game started and them having a 2-0 lead.
2-0 after one. Tampa stormed back in the second. We just sold the Sam Bennett goal that made it 1-0. I didn't think that was going to count, Duffer. I know that Brendan
Hagel. I thought it was a terrible challenge.
A little bit into
terrible challenge by Cooper.
I didn't think the goal was going to count. I thought it was going to be waved off. I understand that Hagel made contact with Tkachuk, but I think Tkachuk's path was going right through Vasilevskiy without the contact. It's early in the game. I would have challenged that, in my opinion.
Really?
And then I rewatched the replay, and I'm like, okay, they're going to allow it. That's fine. But the game was a goalie's game. Like, this is a low-scoring game, 3-2, but it was... Vasilevskiy was really, really good. Bobrovsky was out of this world. And the save that he made on Matt Dumba, I mean, I thought it was a goalie's game. But no, I was okay with the challenge. I actually thought that was more of a 50-50 chance of going one way or the other.
Wow. Here's the funny part about it is I'm usually on your side of the argument. That's why it's surprising to me today. Because...
Well, you know what? It was Magic Tkachuk. It was Magic Tkachuk, and I think you have to consider that he
that's
knows
what I always
how
to
do. Walk that line.
But to me, it got negated because it was Hagel on the backside of him.
Yeah.
And Hagel plays the same way, and I don't think you get the benefit of the doubt, even though guys like Tkachuk get the benefit of the doubt sometimes. So, yeah, it was an interesting situation, but I'm laughing. I'm enjoying the fact that we've kind of flipped here and seen ourselves in different positions. But I have no doubt that Tkachuk would have made contact on his own, but that extra push from Hagel is unfortunately what derailed the cause, so to speak, from John Cooper thinking he could get out of it.
Yeah, and it's a 1-0 goal. Like, you're thinking early in the game, I don't want to give Florida the momentum. And, okay, like, you have a chance you could go down 2-0 if Florida scores on the power play. But I think there's plenty of game to recover from that, which they proved because they were down 2-0 after 20. They recovered to play a really solid game. And Carter Verhaeghe, like, the overtime goals that this guy has scored in his career. Like, the list is very short when you look at overtime playoff goal scorers. Joe Sakic's at the top, and Verhaeghe is, what, third or fourth, I think?
He's tied for third. So let's dive in on Verhaeghe just a little bit here. He's only played in 14 overtime games. I shouldn't say only. Players would sacrifice limbs to play in 14 overtime games.
Yes.
But still, he's been on a team that has gone to overtime 14 times. He has scored more than a third of the game-winning goals in those. He has five in the 14. He leads the Panthers all-time in playoff goals, now at 17. To your point about the all-time list of overtime winners, Joe Sakic remains number one at 8. Maurice Richard is still number two with 6. But there is Carter Verhaeghe tied with a handful at 5. What's also amazing, and this is about to change as all these players graduate into a higher tier of games played, but among players who have played 50 or fewer games in Stanley Cup playoff history, nobody has more game winners than Carter Verhaeghe. He has 8 in 47 games. And the team aspect of this, on top of the individual success story, since 2021, the Panthers have won 11 straight overtime games, while the Lightning have lost 11 of their last 12, which, when you think about that, and the Vasilevskiy numbers and numbers and numbers and numbers that he posted in that two-year window, remember all the shutouts in clinching games and everything Vasilevskiy did? This is probably the most unbelievable Lightning stat that you're ever going to see, that with Andrei Vasilevskiy, after winning 2 cups, they find themselves having lost 11 of 12 in sudden death situations.
So, Duffer, who ended up on Vasilevsky's back after Verhaeghe scored that goal, by the way?
Was it his own guy or was it Tkachuk?
It was Tkachuk. Tkachuk ended up on Vasilevsky's back. Now, yesterday, so as you know, I was talked to in a stern manner by my daughter, because she says, you bring Jacob a lot on the show. I'm like, yeah, because I watched the games with him. And I watched the games. I'm like, you're taking a shower. You're in bed by the time this goal happens. I'm not going to say you and I were watching. It's not true. But when Tkachuk landed on Vasilevsky, I had to rewatch the replay to say, oh, well, maybe this one is not going to count, because if he did contact with Vasilevsky before, they probably are going to wave it off. That's one thing. The other thing, too, is, you know, Vasilevsky had back surgery in the offseason. Yes. That's the first half of the year. Tkachuk lands on top of him. ESPN shows the team going to their lockers after the game. They show Florida, woohoo, we're celebrating. They show Tampa go to their locker. Vasilevsky's about to break his stick, and then he stops, and then he, like, kind of limps into the locker room right there on TV, on ESPN. I'm thinking, like, if I'm the Tampa Bay Lightning, I'm number one not happy this was shown. Unfortunately, it happened. But I'm saying, let's keep an eye out. That's what, like, my kid, my son, was like, hey, Vasi didn't look good walking off the ice. So let's keep an eye out and see what happens here, because that could...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Play a major role in this series.
So I mentioned the 50-game plateau that that Verhaeghe is under right now, as far as, you know, most game winners for someone. So
yep.
Guess who has the most points in 50? This is not career. Remember, you're limiting. This is still active guys based. Not all active, but I'll say this. Like, McDavid leads in points through the if you only played 50 games, right? He's got 80 in 50. Dreisaitl has 79 in the same amount. And after tonight, they won't be in that category. We have to change the sortable stats because they'll be at 51. But it is amazing. Incredible.
And then the other game, which we can glance over quickly, the Rangers.
No, we can't, because Lindy's there. We got to take this is just.
I know Lindy's
like,
here, but we'll talk about it when we come back. We got to take a break, obviously. Yes.
Yes. See, this was planned. This is called perfect timing. Didn't talk about Boston, Toronto yesterday. Don't need to talk about the Rangers today. Lindy Ruff next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to Sabres Live here. We are at KeyBank Center, and we are very happy to have head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, Lindy Ruff, with us right now. Lindy, congratulations. I'm a little upset with you, though. You mentioned Mike Harrington and Paul Hamilton by name yesterday and didn't mention that you were happy to see me at some point with your welcome back.
Marty, I'm really happy to see you again.
Thanks. I feel like I forced that out of you.
It's only a day late, but no, it is great seeing you. It's great to be back.
Yeah, you mentioned getting text messages from Palmer and Milsey and Van, and I exchanged texts with Palmer yesterday during the day as well. What did that feel like when, you know, you get – players that you've coached reaching out for different reasons, but when you get a text and you see, Ryan Miller, let's communicate, let's chat a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of those players are still really attached to the community, attached to the town, and obviously they're longtime Buffalo Sabres are very important to the franchise. So when they reach out, you know, you're appreciative of the text and the good luck, and you know they want to see the team win.
So when I don't want to look at the past too much, but we're going to kind of do a little bit of that. When I played here and you were coaching, everything was so structured and systems, and we had video, and we had computers in the back before most teams had computers, right? and now it's everywhere. Do you feel like you had a little bit of a doing, you know, with the organization back in the days of pushing to that video and the detailed into how the game can be played?
Well, I you know, I think there's two parts there. I think Darcy was really innovative as a GM, and he was great with the knowledge when it came to video and what we can use, and can we get a overhead view. And, you know, at one point we had four different views. So you imagine a goal going in on you, Marty. Oh. Now, maybe it happened or didn't happen, but we had four
Plenty went in, yeah, but that's okay. Thanks.
We had, you know, we had lots of views. And I think that, you know, I had one heck of a mentor in Roger Nielsen way back when. And Roger was the king of, you know, the VHS, and the video was, he was Captain Video. So I had a mentor that, you know, proved to me that you could help teach. I think it's one tool for helping teach. I think there's a point you can overdo it. Yeah. But I think now you look at, you know, you got video for players, you got team meetings with video. You got iPads on the bench, and I think sometimes the players would get a little bit too consumed with all the technology. You know, they're always looking to justify or find out what went wrong in a certain play, and they want immediate feedback. So I think it's a great tool. I think there's a happy medium, though.
What are you with iPads on the bench? Because I know that everything happens so fast, and if you spend 45 seconds looking at a tablet on the bench, you lose feel for what just happened on the ice. Are you encouraging it? Are you kind of trying to keep it away from guys?
You know what? I think there's times you just tell them put the tablets away and play. Don't be trying to go through every play and every mistake or, you know, every situation that might have been on the ice. And I think sometimes there is some great feedback, and instantly you get to see maybe what was open or the play you could have made.
One of the questions we post on X right now is, fill in the blank Wednesday. So blank is a player that will benefit most from having you as a head coach. I'm going to spin that question into a different way. Is who are you excited to coach? Who, like the Devils, you guys played the Sabres, you know, many times the last few years. You do pre-scout on them. So who, through your pre-scouts and your experience against the Sabres, are you excited to coach?
Well, first of all, I'm excited to coach the group in a whole. A lot of talent. I think when you pre-scout a team, and we pre-scouted Buffalo, number one weapon was Dahlin. Mm-hmm. You know, we said we have to be really aware of this guy. This guy can single-handedly get involved, can be a game changer. I think when you go up front, the skill up front, and there's numerous guys you look at. You know, I think the first guy we looked at because of the year he had, if we just go to last year, was Thompson. Yeah. And individually, you know, some of the plays and some of the moves and some of the goals he scored. And we knew from the year before previous that we couldn't give up the rush opportunities, dangerous team on the rush. So you're looking at, you know, you're looking at Tuck, you're looking at Thompson, you know, Quinn now. I don't know a lot about some of the players, but, I've watched some of the highlights, watched some of the goals, the recent goals, and Quinn coming back, watching some of his plays. But a lot of dynamic play from the players up front. So really excited. I mean, my first experience with even a guy like Peterka was watching him in the American League when Utica was playing Rochester in the playoffs, and really felt that he was the best player for both teams. So I'm excited about just getting my hands on, getting to know these guys. I've already reached out to quite a few of the players, and we'll continue to do so today.
Did you get when I reach out to people, I always like to say, hey, listen, it's Marty just reaching out, because I reached out to Torts 1 year after he was let go, and I got the who's this response from Tortorella. So I was like, okay, maybe I should announce myself now. Did it take a little longer for some to respond? I mean, it's the off season a little bit. Like, what's the longest time frame that you got between the sending the text and the response?
Well, you know, initially I called. So I left a message, and I think when anybody gets a message and they see a number they don't know who it is, they're not going to answer. Yeah. So instantly, I mean, really within minutes, you know, one player wasn't in town and got back within 2 minutes. I think listened to the voicemail and say, well, then calling back on this one. So no, the answer to that is been automatically right away.
So you talk about Rust chances. What do you think is the identity of the team where you want it to be? Like, you were always a coach that used, you know, I don't want to say where it was very creative, but when the rules change, you adapt, you evolved. I think that's why you've had a lot of success coaching for many years in the league. Where do you see this team's identity evolving to now that you're the head coach?
Well, we already know very dynamic offensively and off the rush. I think the area that can always improve and always improve on almost any team is, you know, once you're inside that O-zone, can you get inside more? Can you score more net front goals? Can you get tip goals, screen goals, those types? I mean, you're watching the playoffs right now, and you see, I'm going to say 50% almost always seem to be tipped or redirected, or the goaltender is screened. You watch a little bit of Colorado and Winnipeg. So when I look at that area, you know, a lot of beautiful goals being scored, but can you get more dirtier goals? And I think the identity should be, we're going to be a real good offensive team, but we're going to really strive to be a good defensive team at the same time. And I think the way you can do that is the forwards have to help more in the defensive zone, and the D have to be active inside the offensive zone to help create.
Hockey IQ, smart players were always something that I feel you wanted in front of you, and the example is there. I mean, what, we got three general managers now in the National Hockey League that are former players of yours, Danny, Drew, and Mike Greer, and many involved in the game. I think you were teaching a lot of the hockey IQ. I talked to Todd DeFoley this year, maybe earlier in the season when he was with you guys in New Jersey, and I said, does Lindy still change systems? I said, okay, guys, we're going 1-3-1 now. We're going 2-1-2. And he says, oh, yeah, you got to be on your toes. So is that something that you feel is different for you, where you can always push the players to know more about the game and change it on the fly like this within a game?
I think there's one thing you got to understand that, you know, I think everybody's got their system. You're going to put a system in place. I think during the year, there's not a lot of change to system. I think you can forecheck harder, or you can forecheck a little bit less. But when it comes to your team system, you've got to have that in place by the time camp starts. And once camp starts, the players know this is how we're going to play. And once you just start repeating that game after game, practice after practice, you have your drills, you're going to work on whatever structure. You're working on neutral zone tracking. You're working on D-zone coverage. Mm-hmm. You have your drills, and it gets etched in stone, and you know that those layers of defense in the D-zone. So maybe player A gets beat, but he should have a layer of B that can help him out. And if layer of B somehow gets beat by, let's say, McDavid, who can do it, you have C.
Yeah.
And sometimes C against a guy like that isn't even good enough.
Yeah.
And then maybe you have a goalie like Marty who can make the save for you.
Well, if you have four different camera angles, maybe that one sneaks by and you can see why. But you talk about goaltending. I mean, Dominik Hasek here, Ryan Miller, really two of the best in the organization. Their numbers are retired. And then you won't say it, but I think Dallas was a hard time in the crease, and New Jersey was also a hard time in the crease. How excited are you to have Luukkonen and Levi and the strides that Luukkonen has made this year, but moving forward, seeing that those two are looking like they're legit and would help with the identity of the team?
Yeah, well, I think we all know how important goaltending is for any team. And I think, you know, there's teams that have elite goaltending, there's teams that have good goaltending. I think when you look at our team here, two young goaltenders that look like they've made the stride and are going to be very good goaltenders in the NHL, and really have proven, if you look at what Levi did, even when he stepped in at the end of last year and how well he played and how well he's playing right now down in Rochester, and the step that UPL took this year and how well he played and where his numbers are at. My obligation is, can I make him look better by playing better in front of him? Mm-hmm. Can we play even better? There's a certain number of chances that we're giving up. Already going through chances with the coaches here this morning.
I can see the sheet on the wall, too.
No, we actually had the video going.
Oh, no.
But I think that's what coaches do, Marty. You know, we've pointed out areas we think we can improve. I've got the feedback already from the group that's here, the group of coaches, and we're just comparing notes on, you know, how different teams play, how different teams approach. So that's the fun part of coaching.
No, that's great. Robert wants to know, what did you miss most about Buffalo while you were gone? I know you'd come back in the summertime, but, you know, what did you miss most about this building and the locker room and the fans?
You know, I think the energy, and I mentioned yesterday, probably one of the biggest moments and the most energy I ever felt was that Philadelphia game. And I think we won 8-0 or whatever
that
the play.
That was 2001, I think.
Yeah, something like
we sent them packing.
Yeah, it was and really, you could feel the building shake.
Yeah.
Just that type of emotion and that type of support that we had from our fans was incredible.
2006 against Carolina, the Briere goal in Game 6, right, at that other end, flipping over Cam Ward. And I remember, I think it was Larry Quinn came and got me in the locker room and said, Marty, you got to see these people in the hallway, like, getting out. And they were body surfing out the front door, where now is Lincoln Arbor Center. They were all, like, celebrating on their way out. That was pretty cool. Okay, I do a thing here on this show called This or That. It's a little bit, basically an either or. So we got a great, great introduction video. So let's put it out there. Look at that, Lindy. This is on the screen on MSG right now. This or that. So this or that with Lindy Ruff here. Mustache or goatee? Which one do you prefer?
Goatee.
Yeah. Well, you had the mustache when you first got to Buffalo.
Yeah,
right?
I had it. Yeah. I've had it all. Yeah.
And the little round glasses. We pulled up some really good.
Oh my God, pictures. Those ones, huh?
John Lennon, like, with the mustache. It was good. Okay, glasses on or glasses off? Because there's times where you're behind the bench with them on, and sometimes
you
don't.
Yeah, there's sometimes I want to see some stuff in the game. There's sometimes I don't want to see it.
So late in games, if it's not going good,
take them off.
Okay, I like that. Some teams around the NHL, like Flyers with Torts, they go casual now behind the bench. If you could do it, would you go casual or still wear the suit coaching behind the bench?
I think there's room to be business casual behind the bench. I mean, you look at all the different sports, and I think hockey is still the most traditional with coaches. But I think, you know, if you wear your apparel and it looks good, why not wear it?
Okay, in today's NHL, what is more important, offense or defense?
Ooh. I'm going to say defense still.
It still wins.
But you can't win without offense. So I'm thinking that if it's this or that, it's got to be right in the middle.
Okay, so there's the other thing, too.
Yeah, the other thing.
Yeah. So that's right in the middle. Mr. Pegula talked about how competitive you were at everything, and you said that, too, and I know I've seen it. Fishing or golfing?
Golfing. Ah, boy. I like them both. I got more access to golfing right now.
Yeah.
So I golf.
We always say, drive for show, putt for dough. For you, I say left or right, because you do both. You can play lefty or righty, so this or that, left or right.
I actually carry a couple left clubs in my bag still, so it's still both.
Okay.
But it's right.
It's right?
Yeah.
Bowling or curling? And I'm only saying that because you used to take us bowling on the road and curling on the road, too, for team activities. So bowling or curling?
Bowling.
Bowling.
Yeah.
You used to play in the league here, right?
I did it one time, yes.
Okay. And we have a sound. This is a first for This or That, ladies and gentlemen, on Sabres Live.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is a video sound This or That. Let's hear what happened last year in a baseball game. The clip will tell it. Go ahead, Jeff.
He's got enough pads on. He looks like Lindy Ruff. That's an NHL reference from 40 years ago. I'm sorry.
I'm old enough to get it.
So. This ex-NHL player told me what his nickname was. It was Lindy on the Road, Rough at Home. How great is that? He was a gentleman in your building.
Right.
At home, the stick would come up. Back in the yard. Back in the yard, yeah.
This is Bill Burr. He was doing a Red Sox game last year. So, this or that, Lindy on the Road or Rough at Home?
I think Rough at Home.
Rough everywhere.
Yeah, why entertain the opposition's fans? Entertain your own.
I know. Well, Lindy, this was amazing. I totally appreciate it. Congratulations. The fans are excited. I'm excited. And we can't wait to see what happens in training camp and next year in the season.
I appreciate it. Looking forward to it, Marty.
Okay, we'll be right back. Duffer will join me again when we wrap up Sabres Live here with Lindy Ruff at KeyBank Center. Have a couple of minutes, take a break, and we'll be back.
Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We have a couple of minutes and one show remaining in the week. We are getting punted for extended football coverage on Friday, Marty. So let's make these last few moments today and tomorrow a good one. I am here only, as you know, to sell tickets. So this is my reminder. Get to Bandit Land on Saturday and get to Blue Cross Arena on Friday and Sunday. And tickets are available, but they're getting slimmer and slimmer by the hour here in both situations. So what? Shayna and Dregs tomorrow. Big doubleheader.
Shayna and Dregs tomorrow, so that's going to be a busy Thursday. I am here at KeyBank Center. The floor is set. The Bandits, they had a few guys out there shooting it around. They are already setting up the lights in the hallway for them to come out to. It's going to be a party here. Quarterfinals, obviously, Bandit Land, 7 o'clock on Saturday. And you're right, the Rochester Americans also have got some big hockey coming up. And if you go to the Amherst game, probably going to see Lindy Ruff there, because I would assume that he and the staff will go and watch the Rochester Americans play, especially the games in Rochester.
Yes, I will be there. Looking forward to working with Don on Friday night and on Sunday as well. Boston, Toronto, Vegas, Dallas, LA, Edmonton tonight. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking if Jake Oettinger doesn't stop a puck, then Dallas is in trouble, because they going down 0-2 at home and against Vegas would not be good. I have a sneaky feeling the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to put a wrench into the Boston Bruins tonight, and then you're going to say, okay, now who do you start game four? Because Swayman played game three, and Allmark, it's going to be a mess. That whole goalie rotation is going to come back to bite the Boston Bruins, despite the fact that Allmark played well in game two, but players like consistency, like the same starting lineup if you win, the same goalie, the same everything, same system. Lindley talked about it, like the systems, and then you change that with your goalie. I didn't like it.
Well, I picked Toronto to win the series anyway, so it really doesn't matter to me which direction the Bruins go in goal. But
but I feel like you did a reverse psychology thing. You picked Toronto to win hoping they lose. I think that's what you do.
Well, I mean, I was right last year when they got to the second round finally.
You were. Yeah. I got to give you credit for that one.
But like 1 for 10 is not getting me into the Prediction Hall of Fame. I can assure you of that. Islanders going with Sorokin in game three, but it's not till tomorrow.
Yeah, it's the right decision. An extra day off, and Sorokin is a Vezina candidate, every year.
Just not this year.
No.
Thanks, Marty. We'll see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.